Let's take another call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon, Down to Brass Tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Gill.
Hines.
Our own Dr. Douglas does a pretty good job of the program. She brings over. But if you get him on Brass Tacks, that's somehow you can send the Brass Tacks. I'm sure that Dr. Douglas can tell you a lot of stuff. A lot of things that he's told us in the past have not come to light. Even in Europe, yeah, especially when it comes to alcohol, wine, he told us point blank, it's not the alcohol and the wine that does us any good. It's what the grape contains, that it does not have to be fermented. And they found out that a glass of wine actually does not do what people thought that it used to do. Because they went over the same information that people who said that had, I found that by looking at cases through the years, that was not true. It's not the alcohol and wine that does any good for you. It's what is contained within the grape itself.
Oh.
And Dr. Douglas, and it does not have to be fermented.
Mm-hmm. People enjoy the other benefits of, or some might say their drawbacks, of getting your grapes in wine.
Yeah, I know, but it's something that they used to do too. My son, Ludacris, did to us now, but he used to do it. A chemist called Salas from University College London said that basically the Europeans, when they used to drink wine before, they used to coat it inside of the wine glass with lead powder. Lead? You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
To make it sweeter. Lead causes brain damage,
yes,
among others. Yeah, but that's what they used to do at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, gentleman was speaking, as you know, I heard you and Adam Merkin speaking about reparations. Reparations for blacks in the Caribbean, in any place, is going to be damn near impossible. Because, like I said, I've given only two references, and so here's my love back to shed some light on it also. UNESCO's History Series, General History of Africa, Volume 3, page 19, stated very clearly the reason for this African slavery is because the European Christians identified Africa, Africans of any color, with Islam. Encyclopedia Britannica by a society of gentlemen in Scotland said it must be understood that the Muslims were the first to have been enslaved. Remember when it happened, what you call immigrant crisis in certain European countries, Germany,
yes.
India.
Mm-hmm. What they call the European migrant crisis, yeah.
Right. I related what was coming with the BBC on this radio station to Mr. Murray. They were beating people who have dark skin because they identified dark skin people with the Islamic religion. It's only Westerners that identify the Indians with Islam, but Europeans identify Islam with dark skin people because of the Muslim Moor.
Mm-hmm.
The Moors were the people who fight then, and who even Prince Charles, in 1993, Charles Dawn Theater, said he educated the Europeans. So, you know, reparations is not what it is. That was viable for you all.
It's not viable for us?
You're not going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to give you no reparations.
Why not?
You expect Christianity to admit that they enslaved Muslims? You really expect that to happen? Especially when they use Genesis chapter 9, verse 25 to do it?
But it's not a matter of admitting is a fact. We know that slavery happened. This is not something that was made up. We have records. They kept excellent records to show what they did.
You really expect Christianity to apologize to Islam, especially
I don't know if it's Christianity we're expecting, but certainly those who were beneficiaries of colonization and enslavement.
The Vatican itself, the same way it has apologized to the Canadian American Indians for taking away their children.
Mm-hmm.
And committing cultural genocide on them, they were found guilty of it.
Okay.
Trudeau apologized and asked the Pope to apologize for the cultural genocide that they did on the Canadian Indians.
Mm. All right. Well, I know there are a lot of people that don't think that we will get reparations for other reasons as well, the political ones and how expensive it will end up being, so that it is expedient for those who would be responsible not to offer the reparations. But we have to go to a break. Thanks for your call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It is 1:38 in the afternoon. We just have a few minutes left, about 20 minutes left in the program. So get your calls in 434-1790 if you want to call. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon.
22 to 2.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Dr. Hines.
Good afternoon.
I would like someone from the government, strong or even the Prime Minister or somebody from the government financial department, to come and tell us what is happening with Paradise.
Paradise, the hotel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with that?
It's a lovely property.
Because, too. Dr. Hines, I must tell you this. If I had my way and money, I will buy down with you. And it can be done. We just give the prisoners a steady our prison. Why can't we give the old people a steady our home? If I had my way and money, I would call on the rich agents like Simpson and Rihanna and those people to contribute heavily and buy out down in there. Buy it out. The government take it over. Clean it up. And then build down in there for a government old people's village.
Mm.
Senior citizens' village. So that they could relax down there. They could watch the cruise ships going in and out. And they could go down. Those who are able can go down to the beach under the watchful eye of medical people and maybe some lifeguards. They let them go and get dip. They get some nice fresh air coming off the sea in the place. And that would extend the life by about 15 or 20 years.
It would be lovely, but that is the kind of property that I would expect that the government would, and I obviously cannot speak for them in any definitive way, would want to sell to some kind of private sector interest because of the type of real estate it is. It's on a beautiful beach.
Yeah.
And I'm sure for tourism purposes, assuming that tourism will come back to what it was, some people think so, I'm not as certain. This is the type of property that they would want to have available for tourism investment rather than for elder care.
So, Dr. Hines, don't you think that the old people, and I don't even like to call them old people, but the senior citizens of this country, you don't think that they deserve something good, something like
that? I definitely agree with you. Older adults do deserve to have very nice accommodations. Certainly, but there are other competing agendas and imperatives. So this is a country that continues to face the problem of generating revenue. So the question to ask is, will this generate sufficient revenue as an elder care, a senior care facility, or in some other way? This has to do with how we value things. This does not mean that tourism is more valuable than our senior citizens.
But Dr. Hines, I want to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you this. All of those senior citizens, lovely people they are, that will go there from the various district hospitals in this country, Bay Street, St. Philip, wherever they are. The people that get a pension, all of their pension will then be transferred to that institution to help with their upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of them, there are hundreds of them, and their pension will be transferred to that institution to help with their upkeep. And I think the old people in this country deserve it. So they deserve something nice. You know, people, look, if you see what people cut canes and what people bring canes from down in gullies from the head to the truck, up top, because the trucks can't get down the gullies, and then old men and women bring canes from the head from the gullies to the... You know, there was a time when Barbados used to produce 250,000 tons of cane a year. I talk about a quarter million tons of cane.
Mm-hmm.
How you think that used to happen? Not with the plantation owners, with the people that was working on the plantation, not necessarily slaves, but hardworking people.
Yeah.
I know that some of them are at the stage where they are now in the twilight of the years. They should be treated with regret for nas, you know, treat them properly, make them feel happy, extend the life by giving them the best kind of living, you know. If I down there and I sit down on the balcony, got a big lovely balcony, I want a dormitory on that, so I want individual rooms where people can have their own privacy, unless you put the incapacitated in dormitories, and then you have a big balcony and you build a Hyatt that would be away from tsunamis and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the old people can go.
Well, anywhere there is not going to be away from a tsunami. Not
paradise.
But
high in the air.
I don't know how high you will have to go.
High in the air. And and, mm-hmm. and you know, people could go on the balcony and just relax, take in some fresh air, mm-hmm. get a nice sun bath. Because those people at the geriatric hospital and the St. Philip District Hospital, those people don't come out in sun. And, mm-hmm. and someone could come out and get a nice sun bath and take in some of the vitamins that the sun has to offer. Mm-hmm. And make those people healthy.
Okay.
Rejuvenate the mind and help them to live and extend the life and that yeah. kind of thing. I would love to see that.
I get you. It's a very nice suggestion. And
pardon?
It's a lovely suggestion. I like it, but we would have to see if it would be taken up. I really doubt.
I don't think so either.
It's a nice idea.
It can be if you approach the right people.
Well,
but you know, one time mm-hmm. I heard a prime minister say that was unfortunate. That was an mm-hmm. unfortunate statement.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ms. Hines, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you for calling. Good afternoon. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hines.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
All right. I was on the radio quickly after President Trump got in.
Mm-hmm.
And the news my extract and two news extracts later after I made the call.
Oh.
And I said then, forget all the backward and forward. Let us wait and see what President Trump will do.
Mm.
And then use it in the news item for the, I think, for the 12:30 and then for the 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
No, he has served, and we are clear as to what has been done. I'm now congratulating President-elect Biden, and I hope that he will serve as effective as anticipated, along with the vice president, and between the two of them, will be able to push America back where it ought to be.
Oh, okay.
And my second point would be, there's a serious concern. I've heard Mohammed Nasser and one or two other persons, they're talking about health and things. But ultimately, all of us will have our Waterloo someday, and we would eventually die. The concern I've got, that I want to highlight in Barbados, is that many people have spoken to me, people would even call. We have a tradition in Barbados of taking care of our dead loved ones. Some people go to the grave. Some people place flowers. We had the Remembrance Day parade yesterday for the passing of those died in the war, etc. It's a tradition. But there's a big concern in Barbados saying that we've got too much of extended wait when a person dies. And you have to wait for a pathological report, and for the we locally we call the cutting of that person, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And the closure is not broad as rapid as it ought to be. If you're saying that you're empathetical, you're putting yourself in those persons' place that have the loved ones to bury, and you're full of dignity. All this is news when coming to the announcement of deaths in the Yellow Pages, all the front home said they deal with dignity, empathy, and all of this. I am saying it's far too long when somebody died and the family waiting for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and we don't have a resident pathologist in the island to conduct these postmortems, et cetera. And the people there going through hurt, and how this will gel with empathy and all of this long way. What will it take, ma'am? I don't want to show it in the air, but what will it take to have a resident pathologist and have that area? Because it is an inevitable. You can't go wrong it. So what was the problem? The last one we had was Dr. Ramanu back years ago. Since Dr. Ramanu, I don't know if they had anybody. Somebody here got flying from Trinidad, Jamaica, and people extended and crying. And mm-hmm. they're going to pay for the keeping of the dead loved ones, etc. And they can't get closure.
Okay.
I wanted to attend a funeral of my friend, his mom died. And he said, well, I want to attend your mommy funeral, man. He said, but Raul, but I ain't get the body. I can't get the. I said, my. This is a concern. And real families can attest to this. This is a social issue that needs to be addressed expeditiously on the double. As
okay.
I speak to you, two people called me and they got a problem with relatives held up, too. It's unacceptable, though. You got to talk about empathy, dignity, and all that goes with it. And still, on the other hand, you're not addressing that delay. That delay, what it will take. We ain't rocket science, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't rocket science to contain it.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fine. How about you?
Hey, I'm great, Miss. You're Dr. Hines, Dr. Nelson?
Pardon? No, I'm not a medical doctor. No. So I am not giving any medical advice. That's why when people were calling, talking about what you should eat and shouldn't eat, I was saying, you know, we cannot offer medical advice. All I can do is listen to their suggestions.
So you're a political doctor then?
Yes, I have a PhD in international relations, which is a branch of political science.
I wonder how that come a subject.
How it became a subject?
Yeah.
So this is looking at world politics and not so much domestic politics, but my time in Barbados means that I have to look at domestic politics a lot too. So
you know, Peter Vickham is a man that believes that profession, but he don't believe in agriculture, which agriculture is more a profession than a political scientist, because don't need one,
They're both professions.
Yeah, but we don't need a political scientist, because somebody can win and somebody can lose.
Mm.
So we don't need a political scientist, but political believer. But I won't call your vote, ma'am. Where call your vote is vote.
You didn't call to tell me that I'm a waste of time. You called for something else. Uh-huh.
No. No disrespect, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I got to talk a little bit about reparation.
Oh, uh-huh.
Why show us feelings that why we, the dark people, is not going to get these reparations? First thing, we are not a united people. We are probably too much countries across the world. We should be actually every the one country, maybe with one philosophy, then we could get it. But we're so much different countries across the world, 54 countries in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got another 16 or 17 in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spread out all over the world. We're not one philosophy. All we got different philosophy wherever we go. The privileged people here probably don't care about reparations because they get out so well. They will tell you that thanks for slavery that we get out of Africa that's bad, and we down here, we end up there, going to suffer those people. So it's a mentality of black people that we are not going to really get reparations. Let's take, for instance, the Jews get what it for them. And today, the Jews could go, he could go to his consulate in America and tell America we won't go back to Israel. And they will send you back to Israel the next day. But we don't got that kind of system, no part of the world. Wherever we is, we just have no system that we can serve a lot. Let me go back. We want to go back to Africa.
Well, I believe that they're offering some ability to go back to Ghana. This was also possible in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are options. If you want to go, you can.
No, there are options. If you want to go, you can. There's still enough stomach blocking your way. There's still enough stomach blocking the way.
Okay.
Right? So if black people could ever come have a philosophy,
but
then
why
we
do
could
black
fight.
People have to have one philosophy? Black people are the only people that must have one philosophy? White people have one philosophy and Indians have one philosophy?
You got the white race or the one philosophy.
No, man.
You got the white race or the one philosophy.
But if they have one philosophy, how do you explain what happened in the U.S. election? Where clearly there are philosophical and other divisions. We have a whole set of, you know, the thing that you tell me is that waste of time, European political philosophy and theories that diverge. And these came from the white people, so they don't have one philosophy. Why do we have to have one single philosophy?
Have one philosophy when it comes to black people.
Okay.
When they come to this organization, they got that one philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Germany
has one philosophy?
All the colonized countries got one philosophy.
What is it? What is this one philosophy that they have?
Huh? Well, you gotta look back to the Ben
Joe
Conference.
You're the one telling me, so you gotta tell me the philosophy.
You gotta look back at the Ben Joe Conference that happened back in the 18th century,
mm-hmm.
when them decided that they would catapult Africa and all this kind of stuff and give you peace there and control it over there.
Mm, okay.
So that's how them control us then, mm-hmm. and they still control us now.
Okay.
People looking at Gentleman Cowell, the people start with John Cross, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, what is the man there, man? I brought up the heat theory, the Jim Crow theory or something like that organized this disorganized black people. But isn't that at the Belgium Conference back in the 18th century?
Okay.
And the people we still go along with their people philosophy. They never teach you much about we pass and all that. And if we get these things, then we be a conquering race again. All right, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, too. Have a good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Are they Heinz?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Depending on how much time I have, I want to comment first on points made by a caller who said that political party after political party have challenged with crime. I don't know if it... I cannot understand what is meant by the point, because everything we do in life is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But a challenge does not mean that we are to do nothing. All a challenge means is that we must find a solution. For example, the government had an economic issue. That was a challenge. And they invoked Burke. Then they went on to Boss.
Mm-hmm.
This is finding solutions to your challenge.
I know best. All of
best.
Them, four letters right. beginning with B.
Right. We had COVID. Did you put your hand in the air and say, well, this is a challenge? No, you move on. Boston did some work, and we tried to handle the matter with COVID. So telling me that all political parties have a challenge with crime, I can't comprehend what is meant by it.
Which and caller do you mean? You mean the caller that was saying the Attorney General should resign?
No. He's one that's saying he shouldn't resign.
Okay.
He was defending the Attorney General and saying that people want the Attorney General to resign when the Attorney General can't do anything about crime. He's saying, look, you cannot wrestle crime to the ground, which to my mind may be the position that the Attorney General is also taking. My question then would be this. If you cannot wrestle crime to the ground and you cannot deal with the challenge of crime, why then would we hire a consultant which was a former commissioner of police, to deal with crime when you admit you can't do anything about it? That'd be wasting money then. If you were saying we can do something and you are doing something about it, I could understand that. But to tell us that you cannot do anything about crime, because I think the AG had made statements like that when he said, look, I can't get in the body here to know they're going to commit a crime and stop them. But the thing about it is this. I believe that some things can be done because we are looking at community solutions, and I think that you had mentioned community solution earlier too. Like your neighbor, if your neighbor sees somebody going in at a neighbor, alert the police and things like that. That's at the community level. But you need something larger than that. And I think that the idea that was mooted already, where you can do the stop and search, as I think the last
some
administration...
Some music in your background or something?
Turn off that thing for me. Oh, that's my phone. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Yeah. That to my mind, is really the best approach, not to prevent... that's not the approach that we're going to use to stem crime at the end. But we're looking at... You can look at things like unemployment, reducing unemployment and so on to help to reduce crime. But I'm saying that if people have settled...
But this is not something that the Attorney General can address, unemployment. So this is a government approach you would need.
But I'm talking about government, really, not just the Attorney General. I'm talking about his party cabinet. So the government would need to look at unemployment, because I think research is showing that when people are unemployed, they're likely to do some illegal stuff. But the other major point I was making, though, was that these stop and searches are useful to me, because earlier on in this administration, they did some kind of stop and search day in St. Lucie, where the police reported that it was effective. They found guns, people traveling with guns, and they held the people and the guns. And if that is the case, it means that it has been working. Why has it been discontinued? Just to tell us that you can't do anything? That is doing something about crime.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who had guns that were on the way to commit crime could not complete the mission. So something had been done. I am saying that. Let's say the
So you think that's the solution is stop and search?
Nothing is happening now. People are losing their lives now. Nothing. There's no solution in place, and as the caller said, there ain't a solution. Just let it continue as it is. I'm saying start somewhere, do something. It's
okay.
Better than doing nothing, because nothing is happening at the moment.
Well,
you understand me?
I thank you for that, but we are about to close out the program, so thank you for being our last caller and for bringing up an important issue in the country. This has been Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Christina Hines. I enjoyed spending the day with you. I would also like to thank my producer, John Stout, and all of you who participated in the program by calling, sending your WhatsApp messages, and listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.